I think the interesting future of feeding, from especially from a marketing perspective, is that it's clear that the media landscape is shifting entirely on the web to distributed media. You know, you need only look at what we're doing with the world of YouTube and you know, pick your favorite service. The media is being distributed to customers where they want to receive it and how they want to receive it. It's no longer going to be come to you know, xyz.com and see our show. The show is put out there and people will subscribe to it.
This is podtech.net. Welcome to Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of innovative marketing leaders and examining how social media is changing marketing throughout the world. Here's your host, Jennifer Jones.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Jones, and today on Marketing Voices, I'm talking with Dick Costello, who's CEO and co-founder of FeedBurner. Now, FeedBurner is a service that helps bloggers, podcasters, and commercial publishers distribute, promote, and profit from their web content. So, Dick, welcome to Marketing Voices.
Thanks for having me.
Good. Well, here on Marketing Voices, we've been talking a lot about blogging and podcasting and how companies should use this social media. But today, I really want to educate my listeners on how FeedBurner takes their content and distributes it.
Sure. Well, so, you know, first of all, the web is changing to a place where users are choosing the content they want and where they want to receive it, and that content is being delivered to them instead of them going to websites and browsing around and looking for things. And so what FeedBurner does is take a publisher's content, and as that content is displayed on their website, we also take that content and distribute it for them via on what's called an RSS feed, and RSS stands for really simple syndication. It's a very brief way of saying we push the content out to people who want to subscribe to it wherever they are. And those people might subscribe to the content on a mobile phone, in a portal like My Yahoo or the Google homepage, in a web-based, what's called a web-based feed aggregator like Bloglines, or in a desktop feed reader like FeedDemon or NewsGator. So there are literally thousands of ways and thousands of types of software people can use to subscribe to content now, subscribe to feeds. And FeedBurner is in the business of delivering content to subscribers.
So how does it work, really? So the people come to you and they become a customer of yours, and then sort of walk me through the process.
Right. We provide services to publishers, you know, up and down what's called the long tail. So everything from bloggers who have created their first blog entry and it says, I had toast for breakfast today, and they don't have any subscribers yet, all the way up to the biggest media companies in the world like Reuters and USA Today and the like. And when these publishers create content that's put onto their website, those sites, the tools for those websites generally have a capability of creating another file format that is an RSS feed. And those publishers simply tell us, hey, FeedBurner, here's where our RSS feed lives. You take it now and distribute it around to the world of subscribers, the people that want to subscribe to my content. And as a function of doing that, we are then in the position to tell them, you've got this many subscribers, here's where they are, here's how they're consuming your content, these are the trends in your subscriber growth, these are the most popular items in your feed that they're subscribing to, so on and so forth.
So once people work with you, they don't have to do any self-publishing or self-distribution at all?
The whole point of FeedBurner, the whole concept behind FeedBurner was, let's take the complexity out of feed distribution for publishers. So let's make it easier to subscribe to feeds that publishers distribute. Let's make it easier for publishers to promote their feeds. And so we absolutely handle all of that. We have a wealth of publicity tools, a wealth of feed awareness tools, in addition to all the analytics we provide to publishers. So that's exactly right. We try to make it as simple as possible to syndicate your content.
So how much does it cost?
This is everybody's favorite answer. It's free to use FeedBurner. The business model behind FeedBurner is that our hypothesis is that we are living in a world in which media will be distributed and people will consume media wherever they want to get it, not by going to some source site. And as more and more people are consuming media where they want to get it, it's going to be incumbent on some ecosystem to insert advertising into that content when it's distributed. And as a function of providing these distribution services to publishers, we think we'll be in the best position to provide the monetization services. So it's free to use FeedBurner, and we take a percentage of any advertising revenue that publishers splice into their feeds.
So how do people kind of get started with you?
Well, we have a self-service environment. You can simply come to feedburner.com and enter the address of your website, and we'll go through your site and see if you've already got a feed that you publish, and we'll transform that into a FeedBurner feed and hand you back a new feed address to say, here's a feed you can promote to your subscribers now. It will run through us, and we'll take care of managing all the complexity of distribution for you. So it's a very simple, it's one of those, the wonderful world of a one-click processing. It's enter your site and hit the next button, and we take care of the rest.
So who else does what you do?
There are a bunch of different companies that handle pieces of the ecosystem. For example, there's a company called Simple Feed, which provides something called individualized RSS. There's a company called Feedo, which provides the RSS advertising equation. What we're trying to do is provide an entire ecosystem to marketers for both analytics, promotion and awareness, and monetization.
So you mentioned Reuters, USA Today, or some of your customers. Give me a sense of the guy on the street who's just a regular blogger and how you get in touch with people like that.
Boy, we have we have literally hundreds of thousands of those kinds of publishers. And they find us it's really been one of those viral success stories. We haven't spent any advertising dollars to go find those people or spent lots of money on cocktail parties or a fabulous theatrical openings anywhere. We just have sort of gotten the word out over the last couple of years virally, and now have well over 200,000 independent publishers and bloggers using our service. Again, people from independent publishers that have been blogging forever and are in the, Technorati top 100 blogs, where we have probably 60% coverage, all the way through to, I just started this morning, this is my first post, I don't even know what I'm going to write about yet, but the tools that I'm using say I should use FeedBurner to distribute my feed, so, I'll try that. So it's very interesting. I think the most curious aspect of it is that we've noticed is that people who are podcasting and distributing their podcasts through us tend to call us on the phone when they have support questions, as opposed to bloggers who generally write email when they have support questions. I think we were all fairly surprised when the phone started ringing when podcasting took off, to see that it's just generally a completely different type of person that's podcasting than is blogging.
Well, that is pretty interesting, given that I'm with PodTech and we're podcasters, because I was going to switch over to podcasting and say, how does that work differently? But first, tell me why you think that is so different.
Well, I just think it's a medium in which you've got people who feel more comfortable conversing in speech than they do in text. And that's never been made more clear to us than by, like I say, the phone rings when podcasters have support questions. They just feel more comfortable calling us and asking questions than, whereas I come from more of a writing background and I write the company blog, and it would never cross my mind to call somebody with a technical support question. I would always think I should email this person with a support question. So it's just an interesting, it's a fascinating cultural difference between the two types of people. They just think about communications in very different ways.
So in terms of back to like how you work with podcasters for FeedBurner, I mean, what works differently with podcasters than it would with bloggers?
Yep. So the main service we provide to podcasters is that when you distribute your podcast today, there are a bunch of extra kinds of fields that are added into that podcast if you want it to show up nicely in places like iTunes. So iTunes says, here's the way a feed works, but a podcast may have things like album art associated with it. It may have all these other descriptive fields I want to show. So people can either hand code those XML fields themselves in a file, but 99% of podcasters in the world don't want to have to deal with that complexity. They just want to record their podcast and say, hey, make it look nice at iTunes. So by running your podcast through FeedBurner, we manage all that complexity. You can imagine that as other media companies roll out podcast subscription services, they will come up with their own fields and descriptive elements and not use the fields that iTunes uses, and we'll manage that complexity as well. And then the final thing that we do is we can really go through any feed and look at it and see if there are audio or video elements in that feed and convert it into a podcast that is easily downloaded at iTunes or in any other podcatcher.
So what if somebody didn't use FeedBurner or a service like yours? What happens?
Sure. If a podcaster doesn't use us, they have to have some capability to hand code, if you will, the fields that iTunes and other services use to provide these additional descriptive elements. So they have to know XML or go into some template coding language that can add the XML elements. They have to know how to do things like code an RSS enclosure, you know, and so on and so forth. So that describes a small handful of people, and as there are more and more of these extensions or add-ons to RSS, it'll just get more and more complex and with less and less people interested in doing that themselves.
Yeah, no kidding. That's certainly not my strength. So what is the future of feeding? I mean, how does it kind of go from here?
So I think the interesting future of feeding, especially from a marketing perspective, is that it's clear that the media landscape is shifting entirely on the web to distributed media. You know, you need only look at what we're doing with the world of YouTube and you know, pick your favorite service. The media is being distributed to customers where they want to receive it and how they want to receive it. It's no longer going to be come to xyz.com and see our show. The show is put out there and people will subscribe to it. Well, the interesting challenge for marketers and media companies themselves in that environment is I have to associate my monetization. I have to monetize my content as it's distributed out there in the world. So I have to really staple my marketing messages to the content as it gets distributed around the world and make sure I'm, you know, effectively counting the number of people that are consuming it out there in the wild. And that's just a very different way of thinking about media consumption and marketing messages. You have to trust that your marketing message is associated with this content, and it's okay for you to know that this content's being distributed on all sorts of different kinds of devices and endpoints and not just on a specific website.
So final question. So explain to me a little bit about the metrics. Like you talked about, you kind of hinted at it at the very beginning, but to just end up on that, because I'm curious how the metrics work.
Yep. So the short and simple answer is, in the web world, you've got a couple browsers, and they all generally work the same kind of way. So it's pretty easy to count metrics. You install some tool that counts visits to the site and uses cookies, and you can count unique users, and off you go. It's fairly simple. In the feed world, again, there are now. When we started FeedBurner a couple of years ago, there were a few hundred different kinds of feed subscription clients, pieces of software. Today, there are now over 2,500 that we've cataloged, and they all behave differently. Some go and call the website and ask for the feed to see if there have been any changes to it hundreds of times a day on behalf of one person. Some do it once a day on behalf of hundreds of people, and on and on and on. So what we've done at FeedBurner is cataloged these thousands of different kinds of feed readers, understand how they behave. And again, as a function of that understanding, we're then in a good position to say, hey, your feed was requested this many times today, but those requests were really on behalf of this many subscribers.
Very interesting. Well, we could talk for hours, I'm sure, but I'm conscious of the fact that I want to keep this to a good length of podcast. So I've been talking to Dick Costello, who's CEO and co-founder of FeedBurner. And so, Dick, I wanted to say thank you again for joining me in Marketing Voices.
Thanks very much for having me, Jennifer.
And for all of you listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And until next week, may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.